And welcome to the Buckmaster Show as we head into what really is your last shopping weekend before Christmas. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sowetita Sun, along with Ray Allen in the control room. Bill is off enjoying a long weekend in San Diego with his wife, Ann, and I just heard that it's actually his birthday, but we're going to spare you and not sing. Today is Friday, December 16th, 2016. It's going to be a chilly weekend, probably not even going to hit 55 on Saturday, Ray. That's what I'm hearing.
I know. I'm ready for it, man.
No, not ready for it at all. So, yeah, we hope winter doesn't fall on a weekend this year. We'll have to see. Bill partners with several local media outlets, including TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, the Green Valley News, and the Sowetita Sun, all of which have links to the Buckmaster Show on their home pages. And he is live here each weekday from noon to 1 o'clock. KVOI AM 1030 The Voice, and you can get podcasts of all the Buckmaster shows at buckmastershow.com. I'm letting Ray choose the bumper music today since nobody likes the stuff that I pick, and I think he's going to stick with a Christmas theme, I understand. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Daniel Stoltzfus, the CEO of Interfaith Community Services, which is housed on the campus of Christ the King Episcopal Church in Tucson. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you, Dan. Great to be with you.
Glad to have you here. We are joined by Dylan Smith, who you heard a second ago. He's the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Great to see you, Dylan.
Thanks for asking me to come in and help cover for Bill.
Maybe. Very good, yeah. No one can really fill his shoes, but man, we try.
Yeah, you know, and happy birthday to you, Bill. I'm sure you're listening, making sure we're not completely messing up your show. Right?
Yeah. best newsman.
And we won't sing.
Yeah.
And
there we go.
Thus partially saving the show at the very least.
I call Bill the best newsman in Arizona. He's got the chops, man. If you want to join the conversation, you are more than welcome to call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. So we are going to begin our Friday Focus interview. Daniel, thanks for coming in. First of all, you have been the CEO of Interfaith Community Services for coming up on 2 years now. Give us just kind of an overview of what you guys do because you do have your hands in a lot of areas.
We do. Thanks for the opportunity. And ICS is going into its 32nd year serving our community. It started with five faith communities that really kind of came together and pooled their resources to help people in need in our community. And now we're up to 95 partner faith communities, but we also have a lot of great community partners and other relationships that allow us to serve people in need. We do two primary things. We help seniors live with independence at home by providing things like mobile meals and transportation and help getting to doctor's appointments, social support. And then the other thing we do is try to help families in financial crisis. So we have a food bank where we work in partnership with the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. We do rent and utility assistance to help families that are just kind of maybe got in the ditch a little bit, need a little help, try to get them on a path to self-sufficiency. That's the majority of what we do.
Where does the funding come from?
So we get a lot of great support from individuals, particularly this time of year. A lot of people include us in their kind of year-end giving with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit for the working poor. So that's about 15% of our support. We get almost 10% of our support from faith community partners, close to 15% from government grants. We have some great relationships with Pima County and City of Tucson that support us with maybe federal dollars that they manage and local dollars as well. And then we also do a lot of events like a golf tournament. We do empty bowls fundraiser for our food bank. We had a new event this year called Eat, Drink, and Be Giving, and those events raise about 5 to 10% as well. So we're fortunate that we had a lot of our founders were really trying to diversify the funding, so we're not dependent on one area. And then a big part of our support is in-kind support. People donating food to the food bank. We're doing holiday gifts of love. People give gifts for families in need in the community, things like that. That really adds up.
You guys have a great rating on Charity Navigator, which I know a lot of us in the media use to kind of check out organizations. You are 4 out of 4 stars, which is a big deal. How many paid employees do you guys have?
We have 32 total on staff, full and part-time. So it works out to be about equivalent of about 20 full-time employees.
Okay.
And we have 750 volunteers. That's really what enables us to leverage our resources and to keep such a great rating, because those volunteers deliver a lot of our services. We have a little different perspective, we think that our job as staff is actually to support the work of the volunteers, not the other way around. So it allows our volunteers to really deliver individualized, compassionate support in our community. And that's a big part of that rating. The other part is we have a finance committee that is, you know, experts in their field that carefully steward the resources. And then we just try to spend as little as possible on fundraising and make sure that 86 cents currently on every dollar goes directly into programs and services.
Yeah, that's a big number. And you mentioned the tax credits earlier, and I just want to point out to people that now's the time to be thinking about that. I'm assuming that your website has more information on that. Where can people get that?
Absolutely. They can go to icstucson.org, and it's prominent there on our website. There's a link with all the information. We're not tax advisors, but the great news is that the legislature passed a bill, and the governor signed it earlier this year, that doubled the charitable tax credit for organizations that serve the working poor. So used to be 200 for a single person, now it's 400. And for a married couple filing jointly, it went from 400 to 800. So that's a big part of our giving, and people can make sure that those tax dollars are right at work in our community here.
And that's a tax credit.
It is.
Not a deduction.
It's
so it's a one for one.
Credit. Yeah, that's a great point.
If you actually have that sort of a state tax burden.
Liability, right. So consult your tax advisor. But the other thing that we're trying to get the message out is people can give that tax credit, charitable tax credit for the working poor, the school tax credits for public schools, for private school tuition. So like you said, Dylan, if you have the tax liability, you can kind of run the table. There's a foster care tax credit. They're all, you can give to all of them. It's not exclusive to one.
There's a perception amongst a lot of people that because your organization is faith-based, mm-hmm. in essence, that a lot of your revenues come directly from the congregations that participate. And you just laid out a pretty wide spectrum of ways that you try and raise money.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's not the case.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we get a lot of support. That certainly was the basis of our foundation as an organization. And there's a lot of individuals that we get to talk to when we go to those faith communities. So we have staff that present at those faith communities. So that's a lot of our individual support. But we're a non-proselytizing, non-sectarian organization. So we're able to get resources from a lot of different places, government grants, fundraisers of other types. So
okay.
It does make a difference.
We are going to go to the phones now. Tom has a question about funding. Tom, you there?
Yes. If the Trump administration funnels some money directly to organizations like yours, how will that help you?
Well, currently, Tom, we don't get any direct federal funding. We do get some federal funding through the city and the county, so I don't see a direct impact for us right away. But we rely on a broad, diverse array of support, and certainly, if there are opportunities to apply for grants that'll bring resources into our communities, we'll go for it.
The money you get from, say, the county and city, that's most of your government money.
Correct.
Do you get any state money at all?
We don't currently, no.
And so that's all pretty much based on that local assessment of you being an effective organization.
Correct.
Not about your being faith-based or not. Right?
Correct. It's really about, we have to compete. There are competitive solicitations for those each year. So they're federal dollars. There's some county and city dollars, general fund type dollars that they have as well that we compete for. But it's a very competitive process. And we have a great nonprofit community here in southern Arizona. So there's always a lot of competition for those resources.
And if you've just joined us, we are talking with Daniel Stoltzfus. He is the CEO of Interfaith Community Services in Tucson. They've got their hands in a lot of areas. And recently, you guys showed up in the Green Valley News when we quoted one of your employees, Veda Kowalski, in a story about the rising suicide rates among the elderly in Pima County. What's the role of ICS in something like that? That's pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, there's some staggering statistics about older adults dying by suicide at a rate that's higher than the national average. And one of the things that we see in our services for seniors is just the value. We serve a lot of lonely, isolated seniors where maybe their family's not in the community or their family left the area. They had a spouse pass away, and life just looks completely different. So a lot of times when we deliver, for example, a mobile meal, our compassionate volunteers will go in there every day. And that might be the only person that senior sees in a couple days. And I know My wife was involved in delivering mobile meals this summer, and some of the situations that you walk into, and just the sadness and the isolation, we want to be there to provide some compassionate support. So that's one thing we do, is direct services for seniors. The other thing that we're doing is, in our relationships with faith communities and other community partners, we've been doing training on something called mental health first aid. So it's an 8-hour training course. It's kind of like CPR. We're not turning people into behavioral health professionals, but we're equipping citizens in our communities, members of faith communities, people in local businesses, to recognize the signs and the symptoms of mental illness, and to get people the help they need. And it really is going to take a community-wide effort, because a lot of times some of these folks are falling through the cracks of our normal sort of professional system. But we need citizens out there, residents in these communities, are saying, hey, there's something going on here, and let me see if I can get some help. The other thing we do is something called Mental Health Safe Space, which was started by the Fund for Civility after the January 8th, 2011 shooting. And so we've taken that program on, and it's a 90-minute training. We go into a local business, go into a faith community, a community group, and just do a quick sort of overview to better equip people about the signs and symptoms. So you can reach out to our office if anybody wants resources on that, because that's an important resource for education and awareness in our community. So we're not direct clinicians, but we're providing a lot of education and awareness about reducing the stigma around mental illness.
Okay, we're going to take this opportunity to take a break. We're with Daniel Stolzfus, CEO of Interfaith Community Services, and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We will be right back.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stolzfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at RTAMobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers, more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and of course, your calls. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, and always on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Ray's telling me that is a group called Canned Heat, but I just can't imagine anybody would name themselves that.
You're not a big Canned Heat fan? You don't have a stack of their albums?
Never heard of it. No, I only listen to groups with real names, so that one is not on my list. Like I said, you're listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill. Our guest this first half hour is Daniel Stolzfus, and we are talking about his work as CEO of Interfaith Community Services. And we were talking off the air about just a lot of social services and the kind of the changing attitude toward some of the things, stigmas and whatever. And I know you guys are dealing with a lot of social issues, including homelessness and hunger. In fact, you guys have a food bank. Is it on the site?
That's right. Both at our Northwest location, which is on the campus of Christ the King Episcopal on the Northwest side. And we also have an East Side location, which is on the campus of New Spirit Lutheran on the East Side. Both of those locations, Northwest and East Side, we have food banks that are open. We work in partnership with the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. We're an affiliate pantry, but we're able to raise additional food in the community thanks to a lot of generosity. This really is a caring community and really double what we get from the Community Food Bank.
So in our conversation off air, we touched on this a little bit, but I want to dig into it, especially so other people can listen.
Sure.
As the economy has improved a little bit, unemployment has gone down fairly significantly in Tucson.
Absolutely.
Are you seeing a shift in the need for your food bank? I assume you still have plenty of people who need some assistance, but how is that playing out?
We've seen a slight dip in clients coming to our food bank, which I think is a healthy sign. I like what Michael McDonald from the Community Food Bank says. We want to shorten the line. So we're trying to get people connected with programs that lead to self-sufficiency, so we have a job resource center. What we do see, though, is a lot of people who are working, who are underemployed, or just don't have enough to make it through the month. And so we're seeing some trends that are positive in that direction. But I think the poverty and the need in our community is maybe a kind of a lagging indicator, and it's going to take a while to dig out. And one of the indicators we see is, you know, we have people call our office for financial assistance. We kind of have a first call, first serve system. So we have a number, and they press 1 for financial assistance.
For the rent assistance.
Yeah,
and
rent,
somebody needs
utilities,
to pay their gas bills so
exactly,
they can stay warm.
Exactly. And we just put in a new phone system that allows us to actually track the number of calls. And we got 6,000 calls in a 2-hour period at the beginning of last week.
Wow, that's incredible.
Now, we're not able to answer all those calls, and we certainly can't help all those folks. We were able to give out about $800,000 last year in direct financial assistance. We don't pay an individual directly. We pay the landlord. We pay the utility company. So we work with TEP and Southwest Gas and Arizona Community Action Agency to pay those utility bills.
And that's really a crisis point. You don't pay one person's utility bills for months.
No, we actually, most of our grants, we can only serve them once in a year.
Okay.
And so we're able to do that. We take the financial support from a lot of faith communities, and we leverage it with some of the government resources and, you know, grants from TEP, Southwest Gas, companies like that, that are trying to help their customers, and we're able to do that. But it's very limited. It's sort of a one-time fix. Now, we do have some homelessness prevention dollars where we can pay up to 3 months of rent, and we've seen some families benefit from that, but it's very limited in terms of what we can do.
But there is a place that people can turn if they are about to lose their apartment. Absolutely. Because somebody lost their job.
Yeah, absolutely. And we try to be there, and sometimes it's just a little help. We do things like IDs and bus passes to help people get to work. Sometimes it's just a little help that can kind of get you over the hump. But I think we're seeing it's taken some time to recover. And then there's a little headwind too, right? Because changes, you know, not getting into the politics of it, but the state has limited the TANF dollars to folks receiving
temporary assistance
for 1 year.
Needy families.
So that is, you know, that limits, you know, what people are able to receive. So we see some of those folks coming to us.
We have a group down in Green Valley called Valley Assistance Services.
Yeah,
we work
with them.
Yep, absolutely. They go through very much of the same thing. And I assume that one of the best tools we can provide for people is an avenue to self-sufficiency. But you sometimes do see people cycling through the system over and over again.
Right.
How do you help those people? Do you guys have some sort of a program? I know that they have some education classes regarding finances and budgeting.
Exactly.
and that type of stuff. So there is help out there. Do you guys do something
absolutely
similar?
Absolutely. And yeah, they do some great work down there in Green Valley and Sarita. And we have a similar financial education workshop that we do. We also have our job resource center. So we're trying to encourage people, our case managers, sit down with folks and actually do a self-sufficiency matrix when we help them. And we look at things like their education, their income, their family situation, and kind of where we can get them some other assistance. So we see a lot of people coming into our job resource center looking for some more help so they can get employment. But that's absolutely, we don't want to just see the number of people coming for financial assistance continuously grow. We want to help people get on a path to self-sufficiency.
You'd rather go out of business, wouldn't you?
No, it seems to be a lot of demand.
It's not going to happen,
yeah,
but wouldn't you
right.
rather be in a situation where all of these problems were solved?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a complex mix. But one of the other things that we do that sounds like a very simple thing, but it's about helping people take responsibility and also get more dollars into our communities. We partner with the United Way for the VITA program, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance.
Right.
And so folks Good. Can come to us. We had about 400 families last year. They get free tax preparation help. A lot of folks miss out on low income or earned income tax credits, and they miss out on some of the refunds, and they're paying tax preparers, you know, a big chunk of their refund. We can do it for low to moderate income folks. We can do it for free. And so that starts up in February at our office.
Which helps them, and it keeps more money in Tucson.
In the community, right. So
okay,
great point, Dylan.
We've got about 2 minutes left here, but I want to hit on a topic.
Sure.
It can be a little touchy here. But we deal with donor fatigue an awful lot, especially with now GoFundMe being really big out there. I checked the other day, and there was almost 200 GoFundMe projects going just in Sarita.
Wow.
So you have dozens and dozens of them and people asking for all sorts of things. So you do get donor fatigue. People really are kind of tapped out, particularly in this economic downturn, as a lot of people had their hands out and they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that? How do you keep the donors excited about what you're doing?
That's a great question. I think what I've seen, one of the most powerful aspects of our individual support from donors, is many of our donors are people that volunteer with us. So they come and they're on the front lines of seeing people's needs in the community, and they're trying to respond, and they see what ICS is able to do when we work together. So that's actually where a lot of our donors come from. The other thing is we're really focused on, you can see in our annual report, you know, we're focused on outcomes and treating our donors like investors, that reporting back to them, this is what your money did, and this is the impact that it had in our community. And I think the other thing is people just want to see more dollars getting into programs and services. So we explained to them, you do need overhead. You got to keep the lights on. You got to fuel the vans. You got to do all that stuff. But we try to really help them see how their dollars can go directly to people in need when they're well managed in an organization like ICS.
Okay, very good. I want to thank Daniel Stoltz, who's the CEO of Interfaith Community Services. And again, you can read all about them on their website, which is icstucson.org. What's the phone number, the main line?
You can call 520-297-6049.
Okay, very
Thanks
good.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yep, Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com is going to stick around for our Friday roundtable. We hope that you will too. We will be right back. More Christmas music here, Ray, right? Canned heat.
Ding dong, ding dong, hear the bell ringing out the first Noel. Joyous chimes ring loud and clear, spreading word the Savior's here.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
And that sounded just a little more traditional. I like that stuff. I don't even tell me the name of the group because I wouldn't believe you anyway. So we are back with the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday roundtable where we kick around the week's top stories. This portion of the show is presented by Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. The best place to buy a new poinsettia for the holiday season, I hear. Bill loves his poinsettia. Just going to throw that in. If you'd like one for yourself, check out Green Things on 13 acres for all your gardening and Green Things. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com. Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. He is the publisher and the editor. So, Dylan, is it true that news slows down around Christmas, or is it just that all the government types leave the office early?
Well, yes and no, and fingers crossed, it slows down a little bit so you and I can maybe get, you know, two consecutive days off. That'd be nice. You know,
rare.
Yeah.
Rare.
You know, there's certainly a lot of jockeying going on in the world of politics right now, you know, at the local level, at the state, at the national level. You know, not a lot of definitive news, although we'll probably finally have the, you know, definitive word on the Electoral College outcome on Monday.
Right.
But, you know, you've got people trying to lay the groundwork for budgets, you know, especially here at the state level. There's a whole lot of, you know, conversations going on behind closed doors about that, trying to see how things will play out next year.
Okay, very good. And I ran into Representative Rosana Gabaldon. She is from our legislative district 2 down in Green Valley and Sahuarita. Saw her yesterday. They're busy renting apartments up in the Phoenix area, getting ready for the session.
Yeah, and you've got the incoming people, and you've got you know, folks who are leaving office, you know, kind of winding things up and packing up their boxes.
Yep, and getting out of there. So they're going to conferences and preparing just for what's going to happen here in the future. And she has a glimmer of hope, and I don't want to put too much emphasis on it, but a glimmer of hope that the Democrats will actually be listened to a little bit at the legislature this year, because they've pretty much just kind of been pushed aside. And Senator Andrea De Alessandro has been pretty vocal about that, just feeling like, you know, they just don't get an opportunity to weigh in. But Rosanna seems a little more positive that the Democrats will at least get a chance to be part of the show this year. We'll see if that
there's
happens.
A big difference between being able to talk and being listened to.
They'll take anything at this point.
For the past couple of years, they haven't even really been able to talk as far as you know, being able to pipe up during debates in the legislature. Even if you can you know, stand there and make your point, that doesn't mean anybody's actually going to hear you and do anything about it.
But you're going to feel better about making the trip, aren't you?
Yeah.
And so we'll take that for starters, and then hope that that we can all just get along. But it probably won't happen. You know, in the Christmas spirit.
Very much in the Christmas spirit. I hear some sleigh bells dancing behind your head.
It must be canned heat must be back. Hey, you guys had an interesting story by Betty Beard on TucsonSentinel.com about comparing us with Phoenix, where we actually looked good.
You know, we're year over year, we've gotten a few more jobs here in Metro Tucson than the Metro Phoenix trend and the statewide trend. And Thus far, all of the job numbers for Tucson this year have looked pretty good. There was one month, I think it was August, where we were the third best in the nation for job growth. And I think in some ways we're, you know, we've seen the light at the end of the tunnel as far as pulling ourselves out of the Great Recession. Certainly, Tucson is still a low-wage town, and that's not a very good thing. And there are a lot of people who are underemployed. They don't have the best job that they could possibly be in. But we are not in these sort of completely dire straits. We just heard that we're seeing the food banks are seeing a few fewer people
sure.
who are in need of assistance, and that's a good thing.
Right, and Raytheon and Caterpillar could help with the jobs they're going to bring here over the next few years with kind of getting the average salaries up. We've got a story running Sunday about communities like ours, Sarita and Green Valley, and what they're doing to try to now attract home buyers, people new to the area.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they move there? Why should they move to Oro Valley or Marana or Tucson? And kind of this competition, and what does a big company like Raytheon or Caterpillar do for their people who are relocating, things like that. So this is an opportunity on several levels, not just the salaries, but also, again, home buying, schools, volunteers in your community, things like that. So we'll see jobs bring in a lot of change.
And the important thing about Caterpillar, Raytheon, businesses like that is it's actually outside money that comes into Tucson.
Correct.
It's not Tucson headquartered companies, so we don't see the same sort of major economic impact that you get with a corporate headquarters and more of the profits actually flowing into town. But these are good paying jobs, and that it certainly rebounds throughout the community. We should note that one of the criticisms is that these are not just outside money, but probably in the main outside people coming into Tucson. It won't be Tucsonans who get a lot of these jobs. But as people, buy homes, spend money, that does help bring in money to Tucson, improve our economy overall. For Raytheon, really, it's sort of backfilling some jobs. These new jobs will get them back to almost to the employment level that they had a few years ago. So it's not a huge expansion from what we've seen, but it's getting back to where they were.
Well, speaking of employment levels, the Star had a very interesting story on Pima Community College. They apparently have too many employees, and they may be having to get rid of some because they've got some major financial crunches coming their way. Their enrollment has dropped to a 25-year low, which is about the same as 1991, according to the story. And again, it was very interesting. They've got some tough decisions to make, which could include layoffs, budget cuts, that type of stuff.
Potentially closing a campus or two.
Exactly. And again, is it good news that fewer people need to be going to college and getting that retraining or whatever it is? I mean, U of A is not undergoing those types of numbers nightmares that the community college is. So is that good news? I mean, we know that the enrollment at a place like that tends to go up during an economic downturn. People realize they need extra training, and they don't need to invest 4 years. They can just go in and do a certification.
It is a somewhat of an indicator of our economic situation. It's not a perfect correlation. You have people who want to go get better at their job, move into a new field, get a new job, and go get themselves some training. And they are done in a couple of years, even though they could possibly use some more education, even if they don't want to move on to the university level. So you have people who could potentially use even a better job, but they got what they could out of the community college system. And we did see a big spike in enrollment for not just Pima, but community colleges around the country during the Great Recession.
Right.
And
right.
A lot of that gets paid for through Pell Grants and other financial aid. And once you use that up, you can't go. So it's not a matter of it being an absolute choice for people to no longer attend community college. But if you've used up your financial aid eligibility, you may not be able to continue going.
Which brings up another issue that they're facing, and that is right now the community colleges are I think, a tremendous bargain and for the education you get for what you pay. But one of the three plans that they're looking at to deal with their financial issues is to fairly significantly raise tuition rates.
In comparison to the university level, it's the tiniest of a drop in the bucket. It would be, you know, a percentage-wise, a pretty big bump. But, you know, the cost of maybe half a credit hour or something right. like that at the university level for your entire year's tuition bill at a community college. Right. One of their biggest budget problems is not just the declining enrollment, but the huge cuts that they've seen coming out of the state support for community colleges.
Yeah, there is none. So there, I mean, right now I think the Pima gets nothing from the state, and they're, again, it was very interesting for me to move down from the Phoenix area to what I call a semi-rural area down in Sahuarita, where you are dealing with a different kind of attitude of the people who are in the high schools and what their future is going to bring. And they're not all of them are as four-year degree oriented as maybe where I had come from, which I think is a positive thing. But nearly everybody needs post-high school training, and the community college is there for that. They're extraordinarily valuable.
Yeah, if you want to be a welder, that's the place to go learn how to do it. If you want to have a pretty good paying job, better than I get paid, working on airplanes, that's the place to go.
Sure, absolutely. And again, along those lines, there has been a challenge to Prop 206, which is the proposition we passed November 8th. It raises the minimum wage to $10 an hour as of January 1, and that certainly is not going to change, but there has been a challenge issued against that by the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry and Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and other groups. And their lawsuit is alleging that Prop 206 violates a constitutional provision that would require that all measures that increase state funding would have a dedicated funding source.
And this is a, you know, sort of a reach of an argument. If you pass something that requires the state to spend more money specifically, you have to say where the money comes from. Their argument is that because this raises the minimum wage, that the contracts with companies that provide services to the state would have to increase to account for those additional wages. And thus, even though the measure doesn't say that we need to bump all of this up, that we have to say where the money's coming from anyway.
Right.
There's another portion of their argument that says that because initiatives are difficult for the legislature to modify, that they are, in essence, constitutional amendments and need to follow the same rules that only require, only allow for a single subject. In Arizona, you can only have a constitutional amendment that says one thing, and this sort of said two things about pay and about sick leave.
Right.
And their argument is that it is a constitutional amendment de facto, and that one is, I think, even more of a legal reach. It's not a constitutional amendment at all.
But I think you're telling me you don't think this is going to go anywhere.
The one argument? Possibly. I don't think so. It seems a big stretch. The other one just seems like something they threw in so they would have another argument in their case.
Okay. And we talked to people who are earning minimum wage or below $10 before the election, and we talked to mom and pop employers and fast food, that type of thing, and you got the story. Of course, the people making the minimum wage wanted it raised. The mom and pops had a doom and gloom scenario. We visited the mom and pop stores after the election and said, okay, now you're facing it. What are you going to do? We were surprised that a lot of them already had a plan in place to in some cases, lower the number of hours for workers. Some were just going to gut it out and see. They figure they needed everybody they had anyway. Mm-hmm. Others were going to raise rates. We talked to one dry cleaner who had said as much as 20%, which is going to affect things. So we will see if this actually plays out. So we looked at several markets across the nation over the past 15 years as either cities or states have raised the minimum wage, and how was it affected? And you get stuff from all across the board. Studies say all different things, and basically it just goes by community by community. There's no one stock way that a community tends to react to a 25% wage increase.
And it's those studies are all somewhat flawed in that it's very difficult to account for the effects of other economic pressures. If you study a change that took place during the recession, all of those national economic pressures come into play on local economies, and just pulling out the effects of a minimum wage increase, it's very difficult to actually figure out what happens until you really get into more long-term things.
Okay, very good. I want to mention one more thing before we end the Friday roundtable. I had an opportunity this week to talk to Sheriff Chris Nanos, who lost the election on November 8th, and it's an exit interview of sorts. We talked for almost 3 hours, and the story will be in the Sunday Green Valley News. He had some very interesting things to say, and I think that what we wanted was to not have a man's 40-year law enforcement career defined by the last 6 months. And he's had a rough 6 months. He's actually had a rough year.
You couldn't get much rougher.
Yeah, it did. And as I'm kind of reliving this, the election and everything through him, it was very, very interesting to see things through his eyes. So that story is going to be in on Sundays, or you can read it at gvnews.com. Very good. We have Weekend Watch coming up with Matt Russell. He's always got some great ideas on how to while away the weekend. We will be right back. Take us away, Ray. More Christmas music.
They told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, a newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
Hello, I'm Patrice Ross at Oracle Ford. We've got amazing deals during Oracle Ford's year-end event. When you buy before January 3rd, you'll find additional offers and savings that won't be available afterwards. Plus, select models have Ford Smart Bonus Cash worth $1,000 on top of other offers, and not including Oracle Ford's heavily discounted prices. Or, if you prefer leasing, you'll find $500 bonus cash towards your already discounted lease. Find the best deal at Oracle Ford's year-end event. Ask about the models at Oracle Ford that have the extra $1,000 smart bonus cash or $500 additional leasing incentive. But hurry, because these offers are limited and available on select models in stock at Oracle Ford. Oracle Ford, drive a little, save a lot. Call 818-FORD or visit the web at oracleford.com.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before? And claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at givehopetucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's now time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business and award-winning publicist. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring historic downtown Silver City, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and a lot more. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Great place. Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
Hey, Dan, I'm great. Listen, it's always such a blast to be on the Shearer Show. Say that three times fast.
Speaking of blasts, we're going to have a cold weekend, man.
Indeed we are. Bring it on, man. I am ready.
Cold for us, okay? It might get up to 55, I don't know, but we're gonna be sitting around with hot chocolate and nothing stronger. Not in Green Valley, baby. So.
Well, you know, there's a lot going on downtown this weekend, Dan,
good.
And I think the perfect way to kick it off today is for happy hour at Batch on Congress Street. Now, these guys, I think, have one of the most interesting whiskey menus I've ever seen, from all the standards to some pretty rare stuff. And you're going to get 25% off all whiskeys and cocktails today from 2 to 6 p.m. And, of course, you can't batch it without taking a tour of their fresh donut case and take advantage of their holiday donut six-pack featuring six of my favorite flavors like the key lime and the churro. Donuts and whiskey on a Friday afternoon, Dan. Yes, please.
Hey, you know that I'm not much into food because, you know, I order things by number. You know that. But whiskey and donuts, is this something I missed? Is it a trend?
You haven't lived, Dan, until you have tried this pairing.
Apparently not. Well, tell me about the miracle on Congress.
Yeah, you know, the former Pizzeria Bianco space on Congress has kind of been transformed this weekend to Miracle on Congress Street, kind of a holiday hangout with free arts and crafts and holiday movies. Even Santa is going to be on hand for free pictures with the kids. Now, this place is fully decked out in North Pole scene, and there'll be eggnog and delicious bites from our friends at Hub and Playground. And, yes, even cocktails for Mom and Dad, like Rudolph's Ruin with carrot-infused vodka, Aperol, and ginger beer. This is Santa Claus cookies and cocktails under the same roof. Now, that's a miracle on Congress.
And you know what? It's going to be all the more special because it's going to be just a little chilly.
Exactly.
It's going to be awesome. Okay, now let's, in a bow to tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Tradition, holidays, the culinary experience. We know the role that the tamale plays at the center of the holiday plate. Of course, you don't have to look too far to find some great tamales across town. Some of my favorites, Dan, are at Tucson Tamale Company because they offer some of the most interesting variations on the tamale theme. Like, check it out. Their blue tamale has fresh squash and corn and green chilies. Their new deli tamale has potatoes and vegetables and even some coconut milk snuck in. Now, of course, all the classics are available as well, but they go quickly and they'll go even more quickly the closer we get to the holidays. You got to start your tamale shopping this weekend and prepare your palate for the season ahead.
Tamale shopping, whiskey menu, I always learn from you.
I got you covered, Dan.
Excellent, Matt. Great tips for the weekend, and thank you very much. You have a great couple of days off.
All right, I'll do it, man. Thanks.
Very good. That was Matt Russell. He always has some great stuff for us. I want to remind you of an opportunity. Tune into Swap Shop and Liberty Watch this Sunday, 10 a.m., live from the gun show at Tucson Expo Center. And I just want to remind you, the Buckmaster Show is produced by Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, including Ray Allen, Ed Alexander, and Buckmaster Show Executive Assistant Rosemary Brandt, I am Dan Shear, wishing you an awesome weekend.